So, hello everyone, this is Barry Overeem from the Liberators, and in front of me is sitting...
Christian Verwijs.
Also from the Liberators.
Also from the Liberators.
What a surprise.
What a surprise.
And Christian, about 2 weeks ago we launched the Zombie Scrum Symptoms Checker. And we're already sort of like explaining this, the Zombie Scrum Symptoms Checker, probably a lot of questions might sort of like pop up with the listener. So Zombie Scrum, what is Zombie Scrum about? And a Symptoms Checker, what do you mean Symptoms Checker? So maybe we can use this episode to offer a bit of clarity. And maybe let's start with Zombie Scrum. Can you maybe explain what Zombie Scrum is about?
Zombie Scrum is something that we came up with together with Johannes Scharkau, a good friend of us and from the Liberators. A couple of years ago, we started writing a blog post on something that we noticed with a lot of teams that are using Scrum. And that observation is that for many teams, if you look at it from a distance, it looks like they're doing Scrum. So they have a Scrum Master, they have a Product Owner, development team. They're doing the events. But if you look closer, there's no beating heart. And the beating heart in this case is working software. So every sprint in Scrum, there should be a done increment, but for Zombie Scrum, that's not the case. So these teams don't have working software at the end of a sprint. They also don't involve customers, which is the whole point of Scrum, is to work with your customers, with stakeholders, to actually build something that's valuable. But with Zombie Scrum, we don't see that. People make a lot of assumptions. They think for the users, but users are not part of the process. And another thing that's also part of Zombie Scrum is that there is no emotional response to success or failure. So if a sprint's a success, if a sprint's not a success, so it's like there's no spirit there. There's no soul, no energy to do something about it. And that's also the final symptom, that there is no drive to improve. So people are okay with this, and this is how it's always been. It's impossible to do anything better. We can't do anything with sprint goals. We can't deliver done increments because that's not possible here. That's Zombie Scrum in a nutshell.
Okay. And is this sort of like, is this a something that's going on worldwide, do you think? Or is this only the Netherlands?
Well, we think so. But I think one of the reasons, we've seen a lot of examples of Zombie Scrum, and a lot of Scrum Masters that told us that they recognize this within their team and within their organization. But one of the things we're really interested in is to see, okay, so how often is that actually happening? Mm-hmm. And Zombie Scrum sounds like a bit of a judgment, like you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. But for many Scrum teams, this is a reality that they are working in. So what we wanted to do is create some transparency around how many Scrum teams are sort of stuck in Zombie Scrum and how can we help them? Mm-hmm. Because that's ultimately what we as the Liberators, and Johannes also from Holisticon, is all about. We really want to help Scrum teams make a bigger impact, and we want to help organizations work more effectively with Scrum, but then we have to create transparency around it first.
So this is also where the Zombie Scrum Symptom Checker comes in.
Yeah. So the Symptoms Checker was sort of a wild idea that we started working on a couple of years ago. We started with a survey, creating just a list of questions that we could ask teams to determine, okay, so are they doing healthy Scrum? That's how we've come to call it. Jokingly, I have to say, and Zombie Scrum. And at some point we thought, you know what, we can just as well make a nice website for this where teams can fill in the survey and then get feedback from it, from the site based on their responses. And up to date, it's been online for 2 weeks now. I think we already have 650 teams in there or something from all over the world. So that's really awesome.
And I noticed there is a short survey and the longer version. So what's the difference between probably the size, but what's the...
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but I get bombarded with requests for surveys from teams that are doing research, which is always very useful and very cool, but you have a busy agenda, a busy calendar. So we thought, let's make... We had our survey is quite long. So I think it's 180 questions or something. So we thought, okay, maybe what we can do is also offer a shorter version, which is still quite lengthy. It's 100 questions, but it's shorter. Also, that's one of the reasons why we decided to spend a lot of time in giving valuable feedback based on the results after completion. So when you fill in the survey, when you take that time, we really give you some useful feedback that you can work with.
So that was already a question that I can imagine listeners have. So why would they participate in a survey? What's in it for them?
What's in it for them? Yeah, it's a good question, because often you don't get anything after a survey other than a thank you page. You still get the thank you page, but you also get feedback. Usually within 10 minutes after completion, you receive an email with a report. Mm-hmm. It shows you the score that you have on five dimensions. Mm-hmm. So how fast do you ship? How much time do you spend on improving continuously? To what extent do you build what customers need? How much room is there for self-organization? And how valuable are the outcomes? And in the report, we also give a breakdown of all what's behind this, because there are a lot of other things behind this. And more interestingly, maybe even, we compare your scores to the scores of other teams. And that's interesting, because it tells you a little bit about how are we doing compared to a lot of other teams out there.
Yeah, because that's a question we already receive quite often. The question was more like, so who is sort of like determining if what I'm doing is zombie scrum or is it healthy scrum? Is it like you, Christian, and Johannes that are sort of like manually checking all the...
Yes, for 660 teams, we're doing a lot of analysis and sending back reports. No, it's what we want to avoid is that we're sort of, that it's sort of us making a decision, okay, this is zombie scrum team, this is healthy scrum. So what we've done instead is we use basically data, statistics for this. So right now we have 660 teams in our database. So based on that, we can sort of calculate, okay, so an average team, on average, teams score a 7 on ship it fast on a scale from 1 to 10. Your team scores 5. That's much lower. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something you can do to make it go to 7 or maybe even beyond 7. So we're really using statistics and averages to determine where teams are. So we're not actually personally involved in deciding how healthy it is or how much zombie scrum it is. And that also goes for the feedback.
So basically, the community itself is sort of like setting the standard. Like as a community, this is how we are doing an average, and this is how you are doing it.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of transparency that's helpful here. So the community is, or the teams that are participating are influencing what healthy scrum is and what zombie scrum is. We have an opinion about that. So that's also why we're gathering this data, because we can then analyze it and start noticing patterns. So maybe a lot of teams that have zombie scrum have reasons why there's zombie scrum. Maybe there's no sprint goal, or maybe there's no mandate for the product owner. Those are theories that we have, you and me, about a lot of zombie scrum, and Johannes as well. But now we actually have data to start seeing, is that actually the case? Can we tell from the data alone that if teams don't have sprint goals, there's a higher chance of them also scoring high on zombie scrum?
It's going to give a lot of interesting insights and will help, because I think that's the main sort of like encouragement that we have. It opens a lot of opportunities to have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't start using this as a KPI, because that's not what it is. Don't start using it to compare teams yourself with a team in your organization. Use it as a conversation starter. That's what it's for. Nothing more, nothing less. And we're also very eager to work with the community as a whole to make sense of this. So it's not just you, me, and Johannes who are going to analyze the data. Sure, I have a background in statistics, so I really like to explore that from a statistical and scientific point of view. But what we really want to do is work with our broader community to make sense of what's happening in the data. And I think we're going to plan some meetups for that in the future.
So those are
going
to be data-driven meetups.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
Yeah. So I can imagine that nowadays, if we are talking about we're going to use data, that is sort of a sensitive topic. Like, I'm not sure if I'm willing to participate if they are using my data, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Can you maybe, is it sort of like safe to participate and to provide data on, or is it anonymous, or how is that going to work?
That's a good question. And one we have a clear answer to. It was also raised on LinkedIn in a discussion. That was a valuable discussion. So the purpose of this app is to treat your data with respect. That means we're not going to sell it to other people. We're not going to sell email addresses. We're not going to send you marketing stuff. We're not going to sell you advertisements. That's not what we're interested in. We really want to create transparency around how teams worldwide are working with Scrum and what's contributing to zombie Scrum and whatnot. So we're using only anonymous data. We do ask for an email address when you enter the survey, but that's only because we need to send you the report, and that takes some time for our statistical gnomes, our microservices in technical terms, to do that work. So we need to have something to send. We need to be able to send the profile somewhere. But you're absolutely free to use a fake email address or a one-time email address from Mailinator or something, so we don't have your personal information. There's also the opportunity to enter the name of your team, which is only there to personalize your profile for you. If you don't feel comfortable with using an actual name, just enter a fake name. That's just fine. It's perfectly okay to do that. And other than that, we don't ask you for anything that's personally identifying or even identifying your organization. Having said that, we can say whatever we want. We can say that you can trust us, which you can, but ultimately I think our behavior will prove that we're true about this, we're honest about this.
So I know for a fact that the past week you spent quite some evenings on building a new feature, and that feature was related to that multiple people from the same team can participate in a survey and clarify that they are from the same team.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk about that?
Well? So the minimum viable product, in a way, was a very simple site where one person for a team can enter the survey for that team, which was a good way for us to see if people are actually even interested in doing this. Well, they definitely are, because the response has been overwhelming. But we already got some feedback, and it was already an idea that we had, is that, of course, we want to ask everyone in the team how they feel and then sort of calculate an average score for the team. So you can actually have a more meaningful idea of what's going on. And is your view, say, the same as those of your colleagues? So that's a feature that's going to be released, I hope, next week. It's almost done.
It's almost done.
Oh, I said it. But it's nearly ready for release. And I think it's going to be really nice because it allows you to get a more clear picture of what's happening in your team. And again, we're not giving individual results. So you're just seeing the score of your team on average, not the results of all the members of your team. So that's definitely something we're going to protect. And I think that's going to be a really nice extra feature.
Cool. Anything else that's on the... Because the product backlog is transparent as well.
Yep.
It's a Trello board, and anyone can access the Trello board and by that see the product backlog. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you are very excited about that's on the product backlog?
Yeah, there's... Well, that's an idea we talked about yesterday, of course. But I think that the response to this app has been really overwhelming, which is very nice and very cool. It's also a bit scary, to be honest. But I think we also would like to give Scrum Masters, product owners, more opportunities to reflect on their own role. So an idea we have is to do something similar, not for Scrum teams, but for Scrum Masters. So we have the Scrum Master stances. So maybe we can make something to help Scrum Masters reflect on that and see where they are on that. And we can also do the same for skills. So How are your coaching skills compared to other Scrum Masters? We can ask objective questions about that and give you a feedback on it. And maybe even connect you to other Scrum Masters in your general area that score very high on a skill, where you score lower on and that you want to develop. But that's something for the future. It's not something we're going to build right now. I think the Scrum Master sort of evaluation or assessment tool, I don't know what we're going to call it, but I think we can do that more quickly.
And this is going to result in some very interesting dynamics between Christian, Johannes, and myself. So I'm like the project manager, continuously asking Christian, so when is it done?
And I say it's almost done, like I just did.
Yeah.
And I say things like, it's easy. So maybe one more thing to mention is that the app is not, in a way, it's standalone, so you can just use it for free. It doesn't cost you anything, just some time to enter the survey. But there is a book that we're working on about zombie Scrum. It's going to be published next year by Addison Wesley. And it's really cool. It's about zombie Scrum, of course. It's the Zombie Scrum Survival Guide. And the book is just our way to help teams that are struggling with Scrum and want to improve. So if you find that your team scores high on zombie Scrum, then the book may help. You don't need to buy it. Our blog posts are also very helpful for it, but our book is definitely a way sort of an easy way to get a lot of tips and a lot of potential opportunities.
It's basically, but that's a topic for a different episode. We are trying to sort of like create an ecosystem that can help the community inspect and adapt.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's about. And a book is part of the ecosystem. The app is part of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But basically, we already wrote a lot of articles about it. Those are part of it as well.
Yeah.
And this podcast that we are creating right now.
And we will, all the stuff we're doing for the survey, so the data that we're analyzing and the results that that are coming out of that, they may end up in the book. We don't know yet, but we will definitely publish them on Medium. So you don't need to buy the book to get those insights. We will just publish them publicly, make them available. Also, the data is available to other researchers that are eager to explore what's going on. So we really want to open up this opportunity for us as a community of Scrum Masters and people working with Scrum to improve how we're working with Scrum. Not based on opinions and high-minded ideals, but on what's actually happening.
Cool. Anything, I think this was already, thanks for clarifying. Correctly.
Sure.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Well, give it a try. And if you as a listener have feedback for us, please let us know. It's just one developer right now doing all the work. So there's a bit of a bottleneck.
One developer and one project manager.
Yeah, but that's okay. But we'll make sure to listen to your feedback, and we're really eager to improve. So whatever you have, let us know.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time to clarify this.
And thank you all for listening to the Liberators Network podcast. Again, if you want to listen to more podcasts, go to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. You can find us there under the Liberators Network podcast. And we hope to see you again next time.
Cool.